know what you want to say and train, because no one is going to come from your bedroom and hand you a script and be like, come act. No, they want to see that you're trained, just because, you know, we're looking for diverse people. You know, everyone wants to, we want to be top at our game. We want to be setting the bar high just so we cannot be ignored. Just, you know, I don't want someone to hire me just because of the color of my skin.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Black and Irish podcast. Before we jump into this week's episode, I want to say a massive thanks for tuning in. If you haven't already, please consider hitting the subscribe button. You have no idea how much this helps the podcast. So if you haven't already, hit that little bell on Spotify, on Apple, wherever you're listening. Also, we want to tell you a couple of things that are coming up for Black and Irish in the coming weeks. Please consider checking out FTC TV. It's our wonderful social where we document the creative scene in Ireland. It's on our YouTube channel, and it's also across the Black and Irish socials. Please also keep an eye out for the roundtable discussion that we're going to be having with Emma DeBeery and Emer O'Neill in the next couple of weeks. That's going to be a roundtable on race and racism in Ireland and offering up solutions to it. Keep your eyes peeled for that. Okay, that's enough for me now. Let's get on with the conversation.
We're back on this week's episode of the Black and Irish podcast, joined by myself, Femi Bancole, and Leon. You there?
I'm here.
There you go.
I'm here.
This week, we're joined by Derek Ugochukwu, who's a Nigerian writer, actor, director. Look at me, taking a deep breath. He's everything. Derek, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm delighted to have you on here. So, as I was saying, you're writer, actor, director based in Dublin. You studied in IDT. You had a short film a couple of years ago, To All My Darlings, which was shortlisted at BAFTA for the Student Awards. How was that for you?
That was amazing. Yeah. That was great. Like, we didn't expect that to go that far. Like, we did it as part of our IADT masters. I was in my masters at the time, and Leah Campbell, the director, was doing her final year. So that was her final year project. Mm-hmm. So we just made that little film and just, yeah, it went to DIFF and won Best in DIFF and then went on to be shortlisted for the BAFTA.
Amazing. Right. Before we even get into all of that, right? Let's take like 5 million steps back. Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I started off acting, first of all. Like, acting is something I've always wanted to do as a child. But, you know, growing up in similar, I don't know, I'm not to say similar, but, you know, like the African background, typical African parents, like, you needed to go study medicine or something. So for a very long time, I thought I was going to be a doctor, like gynecologist to be precise. I'll have a textbook where I'm drawing, like, we came across this thing in biology, the reproductive system, mm-hmm. and I got obsessed with that. So mm-hmm. that anything with fertility became my thing. So you could even see that theme in To All My Darlings, like the whole thing with fertility and miscarriage and all. Anyways, so that didn't pan out, thankfully. And
how do your parents feel about that?
I did not tell them. Yeah, the closest thing I could do art wise was business. Mm-hmm. So I went to college and studied business management. Mm-hmm. Got a master's in international business in UL and worked as a fund accountant for a while. And then the year I switched, I did a whole year. I didn't tell them. Until my brother saw like a thing I did, like a sketch thing I did on Facebook, and then he showed it to my parents. I just got to that stage where I was like, look, I'm doing this. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he snitched. But yeah, he was kind of like supportive, but I was just like, okay. Oh my God, this dude. Yeah, but yeah.
So that's really interesting then. So you had like a full on career, took a step back out of everything, and went back to college.
Yeah.
Was that scary?
I mean, man, that was the hardest. And I had to kind of like do like part-time jobs because, you know, to be on us, you know, to be working the arts, you know, you have to. But like, it felt like going from office jobs, sliding doors and, you know, people cleaning up after a year to kind of like cleaning the oven and making sandwiches, people telling you how to clean an oven properly and stuff. So, you know, you got to do it. But what I did, what I made sure was if I had to do this, I had to give myself enough time. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't go from a 9 to 5, 5 days to another kind of like part-time that took my time. So I was just telling them everywhere I go, I tell them, look, I'm doing my master's, even though I'd finished my master's at the time. Mm-hmm. I just said, look, I'm studying. Just give me 3 days, just mm-hmm. enough to cover my rent. And that was it. So okay, I just kept on writing.
So you kept that away from your parents for like a full year then?
A full year, yeah.
And how long was your course in IDT?
1 year.
Oh, it was just a 1 year?
It was a 1 year master's, yeah. Okay, it was a full on 1 year. I was acting then, so I was able to pay. I got a gig that paid my tuition fee, but you know, my parents did not know, like, you know. So at that point, they were just like, you know what, you know, a little bit of respect that, you know, I'm doing my own thing at this stage. So yeah, go for it, sort of thing.
Tell us a little bit about growing up, partly in Nigeria. So you were born in River State, is that right?
Yes, Port Harcourt.
Yeah, and so how was that? And then how did you make your way to Ireland?
Born and bred in Nigeria, Port Harcourt, River State. But we're Igbos. Port Harcourt is technically still Igbo. Like, people are like, we're close enough. So, but from Anambra State. And every year, like every Christmas, we'll go back home. Like that would be like a typical Igbo family, like Catholic, six of us. Like there's no negotiation. Like my dad would be so traditional. We'll pack our bags. We'll go for a week or two. Yeah, so I did that until I had to go to college, and then I went to Malaysia and I studied in Malaysia, and then moved down to Ireland to study, and then stayed here.
Take a step back. You can't just be like, study in Malaysia and then just move to Ireland. How long were you in Malaysia for?
My 4 years. 4 years.
Oh, you did the full thing. Why Malaysia, first of all?
Oh, okay. So at the time, the Malaysian one was to get a UK degree where you don't have to pay the UK cost of living, so it was like a cheaper option for those who were coming from
high quality education
for less cost of living. They had a lot of schemes back then that were bringing lots of Nigerians into Malaysia at the time. Some of them comes across a scholarship, but it's not scholarship.
Industrious.
All these schemes to get you in. You come in and then you go like farther down the stage, and they tell you you're meant to pay like it's only like a subsidy of minus 20%, and then you get like a discount. But so that was something similar, because I was already in University of Nigeria for a year and I had no idea I was gonna get. Like I just thought, look, I'm gonna do and then the scholarship thing came on because my brother and my sister were already in Malaysia. So I felt like, oh my god, like this is a good opportunity to get out of here and just kind of do acting, away from the home. But like, yeah, that didn't happen. So my dad was like, okay, you know what, you've gone too far, let's just let you go.
The next question for me is gonna be, how did you find being a black man in Asia?
It was tough. It's not the same. It's not the same here. One of the first things I realized in Ireland was how friendly people are compared to. I remember one of the things I remembered most was when I was walking past and someone held the door. I was just looking behind me, like this was here. I was thinking there was someone much important, someone like really prestigious walking behind me. I kept on looking backwards to see who are they holding the door for. That had never happened to me ever. And the first day I landed, someone offered me their phone to make call just to figure out my accommodation. And so these were things, but like, I know these are the small things, but you know, for someone like me coming in, the culture shock of seeing the different it was a bit tough as a black man.
And those things wouldn't have happened in Malaysia at all?
No. I stayed there for 4 years, and not to badmouth any place, but I was happy to leave.
Did you find yourself trying to like assimilate into their culture?
No,
I just felt
like there was no space to even begin to get in. Like, you know, a place that's already kind of opened for you to kind of like assimilate. The good thing was there were a lot of internationals, and unlike here, internationals weren't allowed to work. So we just kind of like had ourselves. So we had like a strong community of international students, and that was all we had. Maybe it's changed now. Like, this is over like 10 years, maybe 11 years or 12 years ago. So maybe it's changed, but no, sorry, this is way more than that.
Yeah.
But like from where I, back then for me, yeah.
So on your journey then, after Malaysia, where was next? Where did you go?
Yeah, came here.
Came here. Why here? What sparked that?
So I finished and, you know, like I wanted to, again, my love for film kept on burning and I couldn't do it in Malaysia. So I tried to go to Canada to study in Vancouver Film School. But like I looked at the tuition fee and I was like, if I tell my dad this tuition fee, the only option is come back home. So I was like, be smart.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, sure, I have a business degree. I could go do a business master's and something that I loved doing from there, figure my route. UL at the time, University of Limerick, was the only place that was offering the course I wanted to do for an affordable fee. So I just had to.
So you came here, you did business then initially?
I did international business and global management. It was a very lovely, lovely master's. I really enjoyed it. IEDT was the first time I saw myself as a full-time writer, because I used my my master's script, I submitted it to Screen Ireland, mm-hmm. and I got funded to work on it as part of the Spotlight scheme, mm-hmm. With 10 other writers. So that was the first time I felt like, you know, I could do this. Mm-hmm. So, and then COVID started. So I just committed to this fully. I just like, hey, look, like, this is it now, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's been good. It's been
for really that good. First film then, for to all my darlings, just for like our listeners who haven't, maybe like describe the film to us.
So To All My Darlings is everything I write, I try to write from, you know, the Black community here, because mm-hmm. that's the place I understand the most. It's a story about a Nigerian woman here in Dublin who is struggling with a series of miscarriages and how she's dealing with that, with her being a diaspora, being an immigrant, and also with her religion and, you know, her husband, who is also Nigerian as her. So that was something I wanted to, it was just a story that I you know, it just, you know, and I was compelled to write it, you know, when you had to get something out of your head and put it on paper. But at the time I struggled a bit to get people who wanted to make the film. It got a bit of no's and no's until I found Leah, and she was like, yeah, we're going to do this. So yeah, it was a whole small team, but like, I'm very proud of the film.
You had a second piece now that you've created, You're Not Home, which I watched the trailer for and was absolutely terrified. I was like, this is really, really scary.
For me as a writer, as a filmmaker, writer, director, I gravitate towards anything that explores the darker side of humanity, be it in mix of genres like horror, thriller, psychological and crime dramas. But for this one, that story just came to me as a horror, very much inspired by what was happening at the time in direct provision. And I wanted to sort of like, you know how it is where you can use your voice to say how you want. So this was my own creative way of shining more light on the ongoing campaign to end direct provision in Ireland.
Brilliant.
So that was how the story came about.
I've seen the film. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I can see the themes you're talking about with the two boys being, I'm going to argue and say incarcerated almost, but then also had like little mythical side to it as well, right? Yeah.
So the story is about, You're Not Home is about two African brothers who are seeking asylum. But when one day they find this ominous mold that has grown in their room and, you know, and then, you know, they're being sort of like haunted systemically and lurking around this ominous, sinister thing coming on in the direct provision center. You know, they're very much centered around younger characters who, as if you're like, the children, like one of the reasons I wanted to use younger protagonists is because there's still lots of children living in direct provision, and we don't know the impact of that yet until years later, because the psychological side of things, the damage that is being caused, like most of them are still, 16, 17? Mm-hmm. So until mm-hmm. you grow, that's when we'll see the impact. So I wanted to show something, the terrifying side, the nightmarish experience that, you know, people are facing that would convey that.
So one thing I noticed for me that was really striking during the film was when the two birds are being haunted, they're almost being haunted by versions of themselves almost. What was the thought process behind that? What were we trying to show the audience?
I wanted to show audience that, you know, the psychological side of things, where you're facing things outside your control and you're facing things within as well. So it's like that whole ancestral thing, the place you're leaving behind. You're coming into a new place. You're adjusting to the new place, but you're not home. You're not welcome. The past is still kind of like holding you, almost like blaming you. Oh, you left. You're the one. Oh, why did you leave? That kind of thing. If you had stayed back home, maybe all this would not be happening. That sort of thing. So I wanted to also create that whole, I guess, antagonistic versions of this that are still very much intrinsic, like.
It reminds me a little bit of the work of Jordan Peele, you know, and I don't know how you feel about Jordan Peele, but I
love him.
So, I love Jordan Peele. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, God, I've watched all of them, but Get Out is still one of my strongest.
Yeah, it's still up there, isn't it? I love Nope too.
The one with Lupita Nyong'o.
Is it the Us?
Us. That is a fantastic. That
with the tethered.
Her acting in terrifying. That genuinely, for me, is like one of the best performances. As I'm thinking about it now, I'm still terrified with the little thing walking in the scissors.
Soundtrack. I'm definitely going to watch that again.
The soundtrack of that is amazing.
And the use of music and stuff like that. Yeah. But I love how you're using themes that are really prevalent in Irish society and giving it a spin like that with those, you know, types of genres. So I think that's really cool. you've experience as an actor as well, both on stage and in film. So do you prefer theater or do you prefer
film? Film. I mean, theater is great. I have animus or like big respect for like theater actors, but like I just grew up watching screen and film and all of those. So that's my first love. But right now, like, I don't even know, like, I'm very much focused on writing and directing.
Yeah.
So I've not been doing much acting and it's all good because I'm loving what I'm doing right now.
When you get to the end of your career and you're looking back, what would you most want to be remembered for? What you create or how you perform?
What I create.
Yeah.
Okay. Big on what I create. Yeah.
That's really cool. And tell us, would you have any other inspirations in acting or filmmaking?
Oh, Rudnega would be an inspiration, which is amazing. In terms of film, I'm loving the, I don't know if anyone saw The Quiet Girl.
On Colin Keane.
Yeah. That's just, you know, it's a great film. And I'm very much in the thriller side of things as well. It's not a thriller, but also I love the new TV series. Well, it's not kind of new, second season, Ken. So I'm very much inspired by the showrunner of this, Kitami McKenna, and I'm very much inspired by Rudnega and Colin Braid and Kieran Braid from A Quiet Girl.
You know, the Irish film scene is in a very good and healthy place at the moment. I think, is it the BAFTAs or one of the awards shows? I think there's like a record number of like Irish like actors.
The Oscars. We have 14 nominations this year.
Crazy. So like you guys are doing something well anyways. I'm sure that's really inspiring for you as well.
It is.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
What's the process from kind of like creating a written piece to putting it to turn into something that's seen on screen?
Having a good idea, you know, something that is close to like a feeling. For me, it always starts with a feeling. If there's something I want to address, like I wish I could write, I mean, maybe one day I'm gonna write things that completely have nothing to do with, you know, anything, just complete fantasy and fiction, which are all fiction, but they're all still connected to something I want to address, although it's going to be buried anyway in, you know, whatever it is I'm trying to make. But everything I write, there's something either dark or light or whatever, but it's channels aside a part or a stage or a phase I was going through at the time. So that feeling is something I get, and I try to put that feeling in words, and then I try to make that into a log line, and then I try to write about the, like, try to kind of like break it down into just notes and notes and notes, and then before, just to get a whole structure of the story before I start writing the script. So the script is not something I do first. I just do a lot of background research and just note down until I get a good shape of what I want to talk about, and knowing what I want to say is, you know, that gives me an idea of how I want to go about the writing of the script. And then usually when I do that, I then kind of like, so far I try to submit it to festivals and fundings to get the money, because
You need the money.
Show me the money to make it, right? We just finished a short in Pediments that was funded by Screen Ireland. That's going to be my second writing directing. So, so that's just helping me more and more to even get closer and closer, so that one day I can start making long features, like a longer length,
of course, diverse stories. And it seems like obviously you're starting to get more success in this area. I think for any kind of like aspiring actors, directors, anyone that's aspiring to be in the film industry, from your experience as someone who's just come into Ireland quite recently, you know, what would be your advice to them?
You know your voice. Just know, you know, don't be fazed by, you know, just going to be a lot of pressure in the industry and a lot of not knowing, you know, that whole identity thing, how do I fit in? So just know what you want to say and train. Like a lot of things, like just say it as an investment. You put your time, you put money for you to get better at something, right? So that way when you get good, you know, people would know you for the quality of the work that you do, because no one is going to come from your bedroom and hand you a script and be like, come act. No, they want to see that you're trained. Just because, you know, we're looking for diverse people don't mean like, oh, you just, you know, everyone wants to, we want to be top at our game, we want to be setting the bar high, just so we cannot be ignored. Just, you know, I don't want someone to hire me just because of the color of my skin. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know that I'm the best person for the job, you know? and just connect with other filmmakers, connect with everyone. Don't look down on anyone, because, you know, like, don't underestimate anybody in this industry. It's such a small world. Pray and work hard.
Pray and work hard.
Yeah.
Brilliant. There is one other thing I might ask your opinion on that. Please. It just came up recently. There was a play called An Octoroon.
An Octoroon.
Which Patrick Martins starred in, that had 10 actors in it, 8 of whom were black and 2 were white. I don't know if you saw the Irish Times nominations. Only the 2 white actors got nominated. I don't know if you had a chance to see that.
Yeah.
I know it's a different kind of
feel
to what you work in terms of like theatre and stuff like that, but I just want to get your thoughts.
I saw the play last year when it came on stage. That was my first time seeing Patrick Martin. And one of the things I was blown away was the diversity on that screen, on that stage.
Yeah.
And I'm not usually a big theater person, but one of the reasons I went to watch the play was just to see, and it was an incredible story. Every single character in that place, on that stage, was on fire.
Absolutely.
Especially the lead, right?
Yeah.
So when I saw the nominations, I was like, wait, what? You know?
Yeah. What we've seen now is that they've actually paused the process.
Okay.
And they're going back and reviewing it. So hopefully we'll see, you know, people from diverse backgrounds who are going on stage and giving it their all and putting on absolutely like mind-blowing performances that they're getting recognized.
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So obviously we're here as part of, you know, the Dublin International Film Festival, which kicked off last week, which, you know, again, your play is being kind of like shown in.
Yeah.
Maybe talk to us a bit more about the significance and the importance of the film festival.
Oh, I love DIFF and Dublin International Film Festival. It is our Dublin premiere. We've been waiting for this since. It's an amazing festival. This is going to be our second time. So To All My Darlings screened in 2021. Yes, 2021?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, did you not write this?
Or? Sorry. No. And now we're coming back for You're Not Home. So it's a great feeling. It's an amazing feeling. I love Lighthouse Cinema. I love DIFF. I love everything about it, the nominations, it just puts emerging talent on screen in such an amazing way. So it means a lot to me, and especially because this is going to be this was my first big festival where we've won something last year, and this year coming back to show this film, You're Not Home, it just shows me to be premiering in my city. It means a lot for people from here from Dublin to come see it, friends and family. That's the most prestigious part for me.
Been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much.
And chat to you, Derek. I'm sure, fingers crossed, over the next couple of months, years, with more success, we have you back on again.
Oh, amen to that.
If you want to bring me to the Oscars, I'll definitely go.
Wait, bring me.
If you want to bring me.
Subscribe to the Black and Irish podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the RTE Radio Player app.